Well, hello and welcome to another episode of I Own a Business, where we focus on helping practice owners grow the practice of their dreams. I'm your host, Dr. Steve Vargo, and I have with me Celine Olmsted, who is owner of Celine Olmsted Studio, which is a B2B eyewear design, product development, and sourcing company based in Brooklyn, New York. Since its inception in 2015, it's been at the forefront of the U.S. eyewear industry, introducing innovative processes and a unique design philosophy and setting new standards in eyewear design. So, well, thank you, Celine, for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Celine, I'm going to open with a bold admission here.
Sounds good.
I was on vacation. This was a couple years ago, and my glasses broke. And so I had to go to a local practice to get a new pair, and I intentionally did not tell them what I did for a living. I didn't want them to know I was an optometrist. I didn't even want them to know I was in the field because I didn't want them to assume I knew a lot about eyewear fashion. And I think I'm perhaps not alone in that. A lot of doctors are very clinical, but they don't know as much as they probably should on the fashion side. So today what we're going to try to do is help some doctors just like me improve their business by improving their knowledge of fashion trends in eyewear to hopefully make better purchase decisions in the optical. So with that being said, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you help make the world of eye care a more fun and exciting place?
Thank you very much. Our studio is founded in 2015. We provide the services that you just mentioned, eyewear design, product development, production sourcing, and importing as well, and trend forecasting. Our aim is to serve to all segments of the eyewear industry, not just the eyewear companies and eyewear brands, but also optical chain stores, optical store owners, eyewear material manufacturers. This is our goal. And with the trend forecasting report, we wanted to serve all segments of the industry as well. I truly believe being on top of trends, being informed about trends, is very important for ECPs to basically create stories related to the eyewear that they pick. Usually they do their seasonal buy for their customers. I think it's more engaging, and at the same time, it creates more attraction, it creates a better shopping experience, and also it will make sure that their customers are coming back to their store to see what else is exciting there in their stores for them.
Yeah, I love some of the things you said there, in particular about stories. We're gonna circle back to that in a little bit, and just creating, or enhancing, I should say, the customer experience, the patient experience. But let's lean right into your strengths. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of the insights from what you've discovered into the latest trends in eyewear fashion and how they're influencing consumer preferences and purchases?
Definitely. If you would segment it under subcategories, the first thing is material, what trends we're seeing. In acetate, we have been seeing for quite some time super chunky, big statement, thick acetate styles in presence. Now, with the trends, it's always in a way 180 degrees kind of move to the other direction. This happens in fashion as well. So what we see right now, a big tendency for ultralight eyewear coming in place. And how can we achieve ultralight is with innovation in eyewear manufacturing. A lot of manufacturing facilities have figured out to use special baking techniques for the acetate sheets so we can even go thinner than 4 millimeters to 3.5 millimeters super lightweight thicknesses for the acetate frames. In metal, materials such as beta titanium became very important because it's ultralight, it's feather-like, it's hypoallergenic, it's effortless on one's face. At the same time, 3D printed material is becoming very important as well. When I was in Opti Munich a couple weeks ago, I saw the EU market completely embrace 3D printed material, especially for premium eyewear. So we will see and observe if that will be the case in USA market as well. We see a big tendency for more bio-friendly TR90 injected plastic materials being used for sun eyewear. It allows us designers to do more unique surfacing, bevels, and facets for the customer. And as far as colors go, we see all shades of green performing extremely well for optical and sunglasses, At the same time, we see many neutrals coming into place because of the trend quiet luxury. And neutrals in sun eyewear is very relevant and is a great choice. It can be kind of a substitute for black, because when we use neutrals for sun eyewear, it can go well with many outfits that we have. As far as lenses go, we see color gradients becoming important. Definitely gradients coming back, but not in smoke or brown, more the green gradient, the blue gradient, the nice spritz gradient. Cosmetic tinted lenses, category one lenses, consumers are embracing more comfortably. In January, for example, in New York, we only had 9 days of sunshine, and it was a very gloomy month of January. And that's where the cosmetic lenses came in place, tinted lenses with vibrant colors. It just uplifted one's mood, and it made us feel better. Mirrors, we don't see as much in lifestyle glasses, sunglasses. However, we see quite popping in après-ski and in sports. And technology-wise, self-corrective prescription lenses, autofocals, and augmented reality functions are entering the category as well.
This is exactly why I didn't tell that optician I'm an optometrist, because I don't know any of this, and I didn't want her to assume that I did, and this is what I wanted to hear. I'm not even sure a lot of opticians have this depth of knowledge. So my point being, I really wanted that level of assistance, because as doctors, our focus tends to be more clinical, and I think sometimes we lose sight of a very important part of eye care, especially within optometry, is that fashion side and understanding those trends. And if we don't understand what those trends are, then it's really hard to position our optical to be able to meet the needs of other consumers. So maybe digging a little bit further into that topic, what are some of the key factors eye care professionals should consider when selecting eyeglass frames to offer in their practice, considering both style and quality?
So style-wise, I would say being informed about the trends is very important. Following them as ECPs is very important. Being synced to the same social and other media platform content as their audience is following is very important. I want to reference a quote that I read in Envision magazine lately by Tracy G, who is a optical store owner from Hatboro, PA. She mentioned, whether we're interested in any type of media or not, people are bombarded with all kinds of media every day. It hits on an unconscious level, bending style choices. Staying ahead of or even on the curve will keep the storefront fresh and their clientele buzzing about their frame choices. And I very much relate to that. So whatever our customers are consuming as content or they're following in social media or other media platforms, we need to be synced with it. We need to be informed about it so we can basically curate our selection for their needs and what they're following. If there's a desire for more colorful statement optical glasses that they follow in social media and then they purchase online, perhaps it's our chance to really think about what kind of good price, high perceived value, colorful statement, expressive acetate frames I can offer in my store. So I invite them to my store to do the purchase. The goal is always to think about how to bring the customer back to the store again. And even in rural areas, when we know the rectangle silhouettes or the classic panto shapes are best sellers, we need to think about what's the continuation of the story for those shapes. How do I keep customers excited about those core essentials? How do I bring them back to the store? What is the unique detail that I can basically just offer to them on the next square rectangle, on the next panto, as they need glasses for their car, for their work, for their office and home as well? Quality-wise, as an eyewear designer, I'm a true believer in our responsibility as designers and eyewear companies and brands that we would need to offer the highest quality, highest perceived value to our customers for that price point. And this doesn't mean the customer would need to spend above $300 to get that high perceived value. I strongly believe that that can be achieved with $140, $180 suggested retail price. Business owners should look at hinges, hinge screws, core wires, whether the lens placement in that frame is correct or not, meaning sweeping or drooping, the way the branding is engraved, the way the nose pads are flaring out, or the depth of the nose pads. These are all very important details the ECPs would need to consider to give the highest perceived value to their customers for that price point.
There's a lot of detail in understanding frames and understanding lenses, probably way beyond what, you know, most people understand. And maybe this is directed at opticians more than doctors, but I think it's so important, and I think you'd agree, the ability to communicate with the patient, with the consumer, and take all that detail and convert it into something that's going to get them to understand it and want to purchase it, want to buy into it, want to know more about it. We talked before, last week, we talked on the phone just to get some ideas what we were going to discuss today. And you said something, and I actually wrote it down when you said it. Everything becomes more special with a story behind it. So communication, I think, is such a big part of retail. It's such a big part of sales. My question to you is, how can eye care professionals effectively communicate the latest eyewear trends to their customers and help them find frames that complement their personal style? And perhaps, how would you introduce story into that concept?
I have a couple of ideas. I would love to first actually have a conversation with a range of ECPs this year as well to get their thoughts about them. One of the ideas I can think of as a studio is, first of all, we're committed. We found this gap in the eyewear industry market that eyewear industry is almost $100 billion market globally. It deserves its own forecasting report. And it needed to be prepared by eyewear industry professionals for all segments of the eyewear industry. So we will be launching this every year, this report. The first step is probably looking at the report and referencing the report, looking at what trends are coming from fashion, from art, culture, music, from architecture, and they are having an impact on eyewear, on optical and sun eyewear. After that, the next step would be probably arranging the seasonal buy while referencing the report, while referencing the trends. So optical ECPs are going to Vision Expo or other shows or local shows, doing the seasonal buy while the customer need in mind, at the same time looking where the trends are going. And then after that, in the store, let's say they did their seasonal buy, if a customer is kind of trying and feeling good about that style, perhaps, let's say, one of the trends we have in the report is quite luxury or sensory trip. Sensory trip is about designing, creating products serving to multiple senses. That means it's not just visually aesthetic and appealing, but also it has a unique tactile quality to it. And with eyewear, and when we add those beautiful bevels and facets and play with the thicknesses, our fingertips always want to interact with this product, and that creates a heightened connection with the product. Perhaps the ECP can say, I went to these fairs, I looked at the eyewear trends, and I noticed that there is the sensory trip trend, and we're serving to multiple senses, and eyewear is becoming sculptural with these bevels. This is why I picked this style, and basically take a note to this where it goes from thick to thin, where your thumbs are touching when opening and closing the eyewear, and it's all serving to the tactile experience. So basically telling the story behind why they picked that style, why they picked that color, making references of everyday life, culture, I think will create that connection with their customer. And that customer will trust them more. They will know this owner always has something special for me. And I can't wait to go back to his or her store to look at what other special things he looked for me in local shows and international shows. And I think there's quite value there.
Yeah, you mentioned connection, which I think is real key in terms of one's ability to influence other people, influence their decisions, their purchases, and that I think story does a real good job of that, because there is a lot of information to share on the optical side, but when you lead with a story, it emotionally connects people to the information, and it's more likely to get their buy-in. So I've always felt that's a very effective way to communicate the value of anything, is just lead with a quick story. Here's the story behind that color. Here's the success that we've had from other patients. Here's a celebrity who's wearing this frame. Like, what is the why behind why I might want to move forward with that particular style of frame? I'm going to mention here that we're recording this at our annual conference, The Connection. So Celine is sitting right next to me. We usually do these through some kind of virtual format, but we're actually sitting right next to each other talking. And one of the themes here at The Connection is wildly independent. Mm-hmm. And as independent, the word private label, it gets thrown around a lot. It's been kind of a buzz term over the past couple years. I think it's a great way to differentiate and compete. And a lot of doctors are interested in how might I set up my own private label of frames. So for doctors that want to do that, what are some options for doctors to implement private label frames as a way to differentiate?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start answering the question first with something that I experienced on last Sunday. For a project, I had to do a market research. I went to Chinatown on Sunday, took my daughter with me, and I visited 8 stores. And I did the same thing. I didn't mention that I'm in eyewear industry. Mm. I didn't use the terms like temple or anything like that. And all my goal was being simply in the shoes of the customer and going through that entire experience, trying different styles, asking for various price points. What I found out is some of the optical stores in Chinatown, in New York, Manhattan, they started carrying their in-house products. And this means, for example, that most of them had eyewear above 300 and up, US dollars, but they also had their couple in-house products and styles where they offered, it was the core essentials, it was beautifully crafted, but they wanted to offer something for their customers in the 200 range or in the 180 range. And the idea of private label or the idea of in-house products is absolutely possible. The only way to make that happen is basically to create the entire operation. And as a studio, we're able to not only design, but create the prototype, find the pre-vetted manufacturers in China, Italy, or Japan, depending on the suggested retail price strategy, get the product developed by collaborating with the ECPs or optical chain store owners, and then get it produced and imported. We have our own FDA import license as well. So if they would say, you know, I'm loving the brands where I'm getting the frames from, but there's something that's missing in this price point, this aesthetic, this material, and I would love to have it in my store. And we can serve them for that. Right now, minimum order quantities are much more flexible in China and Italy. So we can serve them with lower MOQs as well. Whether they want to, first they can perhaps test out some products and styles, and it performs well, then they can really truly create a collection out of it and a private label out of it, and then see if they have energy and bandwidth to support it with some content creation or digital ads strategy. But even before then, testing out one or two styles as an in-house product, I think, is super smart to provide diversity in price, in aesthetics to their customer.
So as someone who observes trends, let's put get our crystal ball here. In your opinion, what do you foresee as the future of eyewear fashion, and how can eye care professionals prepare to adapt and thrive in this evolving landscape?
Mm-hmm. Before the USA, I wonder if the ultralight 3D printed eyewear will be perceived high-end premium and accepted as it's done right now in the European market. In Europe, we see products in 3D printed material being sold for with beta titanium temples or all 3D printed temples being sold about $300 and up, 300 euro and up. So we shall observe and see if that trend is gonna come and trickle to USA. It might or not, because every geography has its own reality and we have to always create something to cater to our audience here. Then the second thing I'm observing is, so when I first started in 2013, colors were more conservative in the US market. Now I see customers choosing a wider range of colors. So definitely more color in the right tone, more expressive shapes in a wearable way. And in USA, we don't see, it's not avant-garde, but it's expressive. And people want to make the eyewear part of their identity. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're taking more subtle risks more and more every day. So this is wonderful to see. And more, I see that there will be more technology incorporated into the lenses with autofocals, especially, and eyewear in general. However, it should be done in a seamless way because that person is going to wear that eyewear for 8 to 10 hours on their face, and it should fit well, it should look good, and technology should be the perk on top of it, not the main focus. I truly believe more innovation in bio-eco-friendly materials will take place. Right now, the innovation, perhaps we only have about 8 to 10 years of innovation in biomaterials in eyewear. As there is more innovation, we're going to be able to have it in the same price point as the regular materials. We will depend less on fossil fuel ingredients. At the same time, I think store owners will be probably looking ways, how can I attract my customer in a way to my store, and how can I make shopping experience a more fun, engaging, valuable experience? And perhaps they will organize little events, cultural events or fashion events, or simply informative, educative events. They will serve maybe beverages or treats, and by doing that, then the customers more and more will come to their store. So this is kind of the future of eyewear fashion I see, and I truly believe in. And I also believe that more video and 3D immersive displays will enter the stores as well. We see examples of that in Europe right now. Video is becoming very popular in optical stores. So I can truly see video being incorporated as part of the interior design in optical stores as well.
So I hear the term coming to the U.S. a lot. So yeah. I'm going to assume that a lot of these, that the U.S. isn't necessarily driving the innovation in these trends. Is it safe to assume that a lot of these trends are coming from Europe and they sort of migrate their way into the U.S.?
For example, the 3D printed material actually was present in both of the markets at the same time. But it was perceived a little bit quicker and accepted a little bit quicker in the EU market. I think the more innovation that goes into 3D printed material, we will be able to see that transparency can be achieved. I think, and it's going to look more sophisticated. Perhaps that's when the U.S. customer will be able to welcome to lifestyle category, eyewear category. U.S. is in the forefront of many things, especially the technology innovation, as far as it comes down to, it's in the forefront. But for as far as sustainability goes, because of the policies in EU have already been kicked off, that kind of forces the eco innovations to put in place a little bit faster. And customers are easier to accept it, even if there is a price increase. In USA, the volume is high. The country is big. There are different realities in different parts of the country. We just have to really kind of make sure to make, for example, the biomaterials more feasible, not more expensive, but just same price as the regular material, and talk about the benefits of it. So I must say, I think both markets in a way feed each other and follow each other closely. But there are a couple things where I see more examples of it in EU right now. Yeah.
And then last question, you used a term a few times, and I'm not sure what everybody knows what this is. Can you clarify what 3D printed eyewear actually is?
Absolutely. So 3D printed eyewear is better for the, we can say that there is less waste material because you print what the actual eyewear shape is, and you have a 3D modeled file of an eyewear shape, front and a temple, and you print the front and the temple separately with a 3D printer. And then after that, you do the post-processing, meaning you do the, just like a tumbling and polishing is done with acetate, you have to buff it, make sure the edges are smooth, make sure the surface is smooth. And then after that, you assemble it with a hinge, just like any hinge that we see in eyewear. And then we can pop the lenses in, and actually it's just another material option. And as done with bio options for 3D printed material, it creates a more sustainable, more environmentally friendly solution for eyewear.
Well, thank you, Celine.
It's my pleasure.
Our keynote speaker, I mentioned we're at the Connection. Our keynote speaker we're on the same stage that he was just on, talked about innovation a lot. And I think there's a lot of innovation here, and I think it's something that ODs need to keep up with and get comfortable with change, get comfortable with being innovative, even with the selection that they have in their optical, and keep up with the trends, educate yourself, because it's a continually, rapidly evolving space. And don't be me who went to that optical afraid to tell the person that I was an optometrist because I didn't feel like I knew enough about fashion. I didn't want them to assume that I knew what I was doing. So yes, very clinical field we're in, but let's not lose sight of the very important style and fashion side of this either. So that's why we had you on. So thanks so much for sharing all your insights.
It's a pleasure to be here. And it's also our jobs as designers to always collaborate with doctors to understand what are the limitations and possibilities with the lenses, with the prescriptions, to make sure we design eyewear suitable within those parameters. I think the collaboration makes it only more unique products for our customers. Thank you for the opportunity.
Celine, where do people find out more about you, your company, and maybe just if you want to talk about your trends report a little bit, that's a big part of what you do. You put a lot of effort into that. So let us know a little bit about that.
Sure. We are in the vendor portal for 2024 in iDoc vendor portal. Our studio's name is Celine Olmsted Studio, S-E-L-I-N. Olmsted, and they can go to iDoc vendor portal and look at our bio and our website link. And we also exclusively created a promo code for only iDoc frame members, where we are providing 70% discount for only iDoc frame members to purchase the trend report.
Thank you again. It's been great.
It's my pleasure.
So thanks to Celine, and thanks everyone for listening. And if you would like more information about iDoc and how we work with the ODs to help them grow their practice, you can find out more at iDoc.net. So thanks again, and thanks everyone for listening.